All right. Well, good morning again, everybody. Everybody doing good? Amen. All right. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 6. Book of John. Amen. Guys, we're going to talk today about, are you a fan or a follower of Jesus? We're going to talk a little bit in the scripture here from John chapter 6. I really believe that the Lord laid this on my heart to talk about, because I want us all to get to that level of being a follower of Jesus. You know, hey, there's going to be times where sometimes we can't be but a fan every now and then, but guys, I hope deep down in your heart you really truly are a follower of Jesus. We're going to begin with verse 60. I'm going to ask those who can, if you will, stand to your feet as we read God's Word. John chapter 6, verse 60 through 69. I'm going to go through these verses with you. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Does this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for your word. And God, thank you again for this rain. God, I just pray you'll rain down your Holy Spirit on this service now, Lord. And Lord, let nothing I say be about me or for me at all, but let it be all about you to glorify you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Guys, I'm going to ask you to kind of put a little thumb note over in Luke chapter 19, because I'm going to go to that. Here in just a little bit. So just kind of maybe mark that in your Bible, Luke chapter 19. We're going to go over to that in just a little bit as well. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to get that myself here. All right, guys, I want to talk to you this morning about being a fan or being a follower of Christ. You know, in church, there are a lot of people that we really can classify as followers of Christ. You can see it in what they do. They're always willing to do things whenever the church needs it done. They're willing to come. They're wanting to come. They're excited about coming. But guys, I'm going to be honest with you. We've got a lot of fans in churches all across this land. We got a lot of fans. Now, a fan is somebody like this. I'm thinking of sports teams here. If you've gone to see your favorite team play and they're getting beat up on and it's only a few minutes left in the game, maybe 5-10 minutes left in the game, fans get up and leave. They go home. They want to beat the crowd out of there. The followers are those that stay until the last second goes off that clock. They're going to keep supporting their team. They're going to keep believing in their team. And they're going to be there through thick and thin. I told the youth this morning, I was doing their lesson this morning. And by the way, Alicia had to go up and be with her folks. Those fires and the smoke up there are causing them to have to evacuate some people. And some of those were her family. So I told her we'd be sure and pray for her about that. So please lift her up and her family in your prayers as well. But guys, Those are fans, people that just come and, oh yeah, if they're winning, they want to come and see it. And, you know, if it's an exciting game, they may stay to the end. But if it's not a real good game, they're going to leave. How many of y'all remember the Braves and Falcons of the 1970s and the Hawks and all them? Amen. I mean, you had to truly be a follower of them to stay with them back then, right? But guys, I always loved them. I watched them. I supported them. But guys, we got a lot of people that are just fans. They don't believe in staying through and seeing it through to the end. We got a lot of people that are fans. They're just showing up. They'll stay as long as it benefits them. And I'm talking about in the church now, as long as it benefits them, they're going to keep coming. But guys, let the first little thing happen that doesn't agree with their way of thinking, and most of the time you're going to see those people go out the door and not come back. I've been around churches before where you go there and you see people come and go, and You know, you'll think the church is growing, and then all of a sudden people will disappear and you don't see them anymore. And maybe something was said in a sermon that challenged them a little too much and they didn't. Guys, I want to tell you something. I want to challenge you every week. Amen. I don't want you to leave from here feeling like, oh, he just kind of, you know, made me feel real good every week. Guys, when I want to hear God's word, I want it to convict my heart. Amen. I want to move beyond where I am now. I want to go to where God wants me to be. I don't want to just stay the same. Because you know what? If I stay the same, I'm not living my life like I should be for Him. Because there's always room for improvement, right? Yeah. There's always room for more followers of Christ. We need more followers in churches today. We need more followers in the fellowship. You know, Jesus was talking about in the scriptures here about an incident. And let me kind of backtrack a little bit. Let me give you a little bit of information about what was going on here. Jesus had just fed the 5,000. Now, some people misunderstand that a little bit. I want to explain something to you. He didn't just feed 5,000. He fed 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. So there could have easily been 8, 9, 10,000 people there that day. We just hear of Jesus feeding the 5,000 and we think, oh, wow, man, he fed 5,000 people. That was just the men that were there that day. But there were more people than that. He fed them with what? 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now, man, you're talking about getting a crowd to come around. You take 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and feed 8, 9, 10,000 people, that's going to draw a crowd, isn't it? Amen. You're going to have people that are going to come and they're going to do that and they're going to want to come up and be around Jesus. In fact, they wanted to take Jesus and force him to be their king. And when Jesus heard about that, what did he do? He got off and got away from them and went over with his disciples. Early or late that night, he comes walking across the water and scared the disciples half to death. They thought they were seeing a ghost. But old Peter, you know, old Peter, he's like, hey, man, I'm going to get out here and try this out. Got out there and walked a little bit on the water, but he just couldn't quite make it all the way because he took his eyes off Jesus. Amen. As long as you keep your eyes on Jesus, you're always going to make it. Amen. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. You're going to make it. It might not be an easy journey. There are going to be things that are going to come up along the way, but you're going to make it. You keep your eyes on Jesus. See, Peter took his eyes off there. But getting back to what I'm saying, Jesus went on and the crowds realized he had gone and disappeared and they all said, well, we got to go find him. We got to go find him. We can't let this meal ticket get away. Amen. We can't let this opportunity get away. So they got in their boats and they sailed over to Capernaum looking for Jesus and they caught up with him and met up with him and they were impressed. They're like, Jesus, we're glad we found you, man. We're so glad we found you. But in John chapter 6, verse 24, if you look back up into verse 24, it talks to us about that once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got out and went and searched for him. They got out and went looking for him. Why? Because he fed them. He gave them a free lunch. You offer me a free lunch, I'm going to show up every time, right? He went out and he fed them. They came back for more food, but guess what? Jesus didn't come to this earth to offer a buffet every week. Amen? He came to this world to help deliver us out of this world and give us a way to make sure we can spend eternity with him and with all our loved ones that have gone on to be before him. He didn't want us to go to Ryan's every Sunday. Amen? That's not what it's all about. And see, Jesus basically had to say, I know what you're thinking here. You're thinking, I'm going to be your meal ticket. I'm going to be there. All you want to see is miracles and great signs and great wonders. They didn't come for anything other than that. So Jesus said, that ain't happening anymore. And guess what? They weren't happy about that because they came to see some more miracles. But he wasn't going to do it. Why? Because Jesus wants fans. He didn't want fans. He wanted followers. He wanted followers. He knew that they were just simply fans. They were there cheering him on a little bit. But when the going got tough, man, they were going to get out of there. They weren't going to hang around. So as soon as Jesus did not do what they wanted to do, look at what the scripture says there. Let's go back in John chapter 6. Then he says in verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. That's sad, isn't it? These people had been right there with Jesus. Jesus fed them. He took care of them. He taught them. But they didn't learn the most important lesson in life. I'm not here to feed you physical food. I'm here to feed you spiritual food. Amen. I'm here to help you grow spiritually. They didn't understand that. They wanted more physical stuff. Guys, we got a lot of fans in this world today. We got a lot of people that, man, Jesus, whoo, that's good. You answered that prayer. How about one more? How about this? How about that? And before you realize it, all we're coming to church for is to just hope and pray that we're going to get something out of it. You know, some people even try to take advantage of things the church does sometimes, outreaches that the church does. You got to be careful even about that, that you don't become a crutch and a handout. You got to watch out for stuff like that, because we want followers of Christ. We don't want fans of Christ. Now, I want to make sure you understand something. I'm going to love everybody in this church. I don't care if you are a fan right now. My goal as a pastor is to help you become a follower of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I want you to become a follower of Jesus. And if that means right now you can only be a fan and you don't really get the whole picture, I'm okay with that. I want you to keep coming, because guess what? Eventually something's going to click. Eventually the right circumstance is going to come in your life, and God's going to turn that light on, and you're no longer going to be just a fan of His. You're going to be a follower of His. And guess what? Your life will never be the same again. Amen. How many of you can say right now with honesty and certainty, the day you accepted Jesus as your Savior, your life has never been the same again?
Amen.
Amen. Raise your hand. And it never will be the same again. If you can't say that, then guess what? I'd have to ask myself, did I really experience the risen Savior when I thought I did? And yeah, I'm still knocking on that door. Amen. Some of you right now probably saying, oh God, He's going back to the darkness again. No, I'm not going back to talking about just darkness, but I want you to understand, fan, darkness maybe, light, follower, definitely. Nobody follows Jesus and does everything that God's called them to do if they're not a true follower of His, if they're not a true child of His. So that's what I want you to understand. I'm not here to belittle anybody. Like I said, I love everybody here. Let me tell you something about this church. I love this church. I love everybody in this church. But I love you too much to leave you where you are. Amen. I don't want to leave you where you are. I want you to get up where God wants you to be. If I was just one of these preachers that came in and said, oh, we got a beautiful little church here. We got people here. They're good people, man. We got politicians here. We got paramedics here. We got farmers here. This is a great group of people. I'm just going to go up here and I'm going to sit down, and that's going to be all I have to do for the rest of my preaching career, because they're such good people here. What do you think about that? Amen. I got to sit down for a minute. I got to catch my breath. Amen. Amen. That's not what it's about. My job as a pastor is to not leave you as a farmer, as a politician, as a plumber that gets rid of stinky stuff. Amen. My job as a preacher is to get you where God wants you to be. God does not want you to be the same today as you were yesterday. He wants you to constantly evolve. Now, I do believe in evolution. Woo, I'm throwing that out there because I know some people are going to jump on that. I don't mean the evolution of man, amen. I'm talking about the evolution of a Christian.
Amen.
I believe we should constantly be evolving. We should never be the same creature we were 20 years ago that we are today if we have Jesus as our Savior.
Amen.
We should constantly be evolving into what God wants us to be. But some people are stuck where they were 15, 20 years ago. Guys, that's not being a follower. Don't you want to be all you can be for Jesus?
Yes.
Man, He was all He could be for you. You understand that? He didn't give up on you. And we shouldn't give up on Him. Because I'm going to tell you what. If you, and you know, somebody sent me something the other day. I want to share this with you. And I don't usually do this, but I just want to read something real quick. Let me get this devil device out and let me find where it is. Amen. Oh, I'm sorry. It's not all devilish. There's some good things that happen on this thing. I got to find where it is. Somebody sent me an email or a text message the other day, and they just said, you know what, thank you for this, and I appreciate you doing this and all that and other. And you know what? I said, that's all good. I appreciate you thanking me for this, that, and the other. But you know what I said to them? With me, it's all about storing up treasure in heaven. I'm not here for the applause of man. Guys, we got to get over that. If nobody ever says, hey, man, you did a good job, as long as Jesus thinks I did, I'm okay. Amen. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. We got to understand, it's not about pleasing men. It's about pleasing the man. And that is Jesus. Amen. As long as you're pleasing him, you're okay. But see, we got our priorities mixed up. Fans are there to please themselves. And I'm going to tell you something. When I first came here, I'm happy to say, first of all, I've made it 6 years here as your pastor as of this month. Amen. Amen. 6 years, and it's been good years too. Amen. And I've seen a lot of good people come into this church. I've seen some that have gone on to be with the Lord in that 6 year period. But I hope and pray the next 6 years will just be a great ride. Amen. And if I have anything to do with it, it's going to be that way. Amen. And I'm going to keep stirring, and I'm going to keep poking, and I'm going to keep prodding, and I'm going to keep moving you and pushing you in the right direction. But guess what? I can't do it for you. You got to want it. You got to want it. If you don't want it, it doesn't matter what kind of sermon I preach. It doesn't matter what kind of Sunday school lesson you got. It doesn't matter what God's word is telling you. If you don't want it, you're not going to get it. You got to want it. If you want it, it's there. God will help you. God will guide you. It's yours. But if you don't want it, then hey, you're just kind of going through the motions right now. But I'm here to tell you this. Jesus has got great plans for everybody in this room. Yes. But you know what the problem is for some of you? You won't let him bring the map out. You won't let him bring the map out and say, okay, here you are here at this point. I needed you to be way over here by now. You're still on spiritual milk that Paul spoke of, meaning that you can't handle the real hard truths of the gospel. Guys, that's why fans leave the church sometimes. When the preacher gets to preaching on the hard truths of the gospel, they're still over here on spiritual milk, sucking their thumb in the corner. Woo! How about that visual right there? We probably got some deacons and churches all across America ought to be over in the corner sucking on their thumb because they're still on spiritual milk. Amen? We got Sunday school teachers all across this land ought to be over in the corner sucking their thumb because they're on spiritual milk. We got preachers that are still on spiritual milk. Yeah, I'm not going to exclude preachers because there are plenty of preachers that hadn't got to that level yet either. So you see, guys, don't be a fan the rest of your life. I understand when you first get into church and you first get into learning about Jesus, you know what? I'm just going to have to share this right here. There's been people that have come into our church here of late that when they first got going, you know, we got them here on Sunday. That was great. I didn't have a problem with that. But you know what? The more they came, the more they got into the Lord, when they finally really accepted Jesus as their Savior, man, you can't get enough of it. You can't get enough of serving Him. So I'm saying, you know what? If you really want to be that follower, you just got to let go and you got to let God have control of you. Amen. You know, we're too scared to just say, God, here I am. Take me. Use me for your service. We're scared of that. You know what? I like the old hymn, the old gospel hymn that says, where he leads me. Where he leads me, yeah. I'm going to read the words of that to you right here. I would sing it, but you know, I'd have to get Della back up here, and she done hit a couple of extra notes today. She might not want to get up there and play it for me. Amen. I have to pick on Della. I love Della and Tony. But every time she hits one extra note every now and then, I just look over at Tony. He starts laughing. I get a little grin, and it's all good. Amen. It's all good. But listen to the words of this. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him all the way. Now that's what a follower would sing that song like. Now here's what I believe a fan would sing that song like. I'll go with you till the summer when the baseball games and the vacations and the campouts start up. I'll go with you till the winter when things are not as convenient for me and I got to move down to Florida or I go to Texas where it's warmer. I'll go with you till life's a bummer and I don't feel like getting out of bed on Sunday and the people have mistreated me or I don't feel like God's answered my prayers the way I thought they should. And then the final part of that I'd say is this. If not, I'll say so long all the way. Now that's what a fan would sing that song like. They're just in it for themselves. They're in it to get whatever they can, whatever God may hand out to them. But guys, I'm telling you what, a true follower of Christ can sing that song, keep their head thrown back, and keep a smile on their face when they're singing it because they really mean it. Amen?
Amen.
They really mean every word of that song. Fans give up and walk away. Or worse, they'll damage the church. I'm going to tell you what. We had some fans over here in this church a while back, a long time ago. And in my opinion, they weren't out to try to move God's kingdom in a positive way. I'm certainly not going to call any names, but I'm going to tell you what. There were people, I believe, that were really here just for their own selves. They weren't here to move the gospel in the right direction. They were here to say what they wanted, how they wanted, when they wanted. Well, guess what? I let them say it. I let them do how they say whatever they wanted and get it out in the air. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I'm not going to be persuaded by anything man has to say if it's going against God's will for this church.
Amen.
You can tell me all you want to. You can walk through that door and say, I think we ought to do this and we ought to do that. If it's not what God wants, we ain't doing it.
Amen.
Amen. We're not going to do it in this church. I'll stand up and tell you that. I'm not afraid to tell you that. I believe that's part of the reason God called me here to this church. I didn't have all these little ritualistic ties to this church. Now, I knew people that were here, and I loved it from the first time I came here. But I knew that God had a bigger plan for this church. And I knew that when God's plan was enacted, that I had to be an active part of it. And I could not listen to what the world was trying to tell me. Oh, hey, we need you to do this. We want you to do that. Blah, 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 blah. People got mad. Some of them quit coming. I still loved them anyway. People stayed gone for weeks, months, wouldn't go to their class. I loved them anyway. And guess what? Look at where we're at now. God's moving. Lives are being touched. Souls are being saved. It's not anything I did except just keep preaching the Word of God the way He wanted me to preach it. Amen?
Amen.
And not hold back and not hide and not run away and say, oh, well, maybe we should keep this little group okay. These groups are fans. If you're a fan, you're going to want to fan dissension. You're going to want to keep dissension going. But if you're a follower of Christ, you're going to learn to agree to disagree and you're going to move on for the kingdom's sake. Amen? That's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do. You see, fans just come to experience rituals. I told the youth this morning, I was like, you know what would throw a fan, a curveball, if you did this? Boy, if you ever were to start moving church to Friday instead of Sunday, whoo, that mess them up. Because Sunday's the day you're supposed to go worship the Lord. I can't do it on Friday now. That's just, I don't know, that ain't right. Guess what? You show me anywhere in the Bible where it says you're supposed to go to church on Sunday anyway. It says we're supposed to worship the Lord with a glad heart. It didn't say on Sunday. It said every day. Amen?
Amen.
The way I read it, we just kind of evolved it into Sunday. But you know what? It doesn't really matter what day of the week it is as long as you're serving Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
That's all it's about, really and truly. That's all it's about. But you see, fans, the spiritual connotations of worship are hard to grasp. You start getting too deep with a fan, they're going to be like, whoa, I don't know about all this now. I don't think that's what Jesus meant. Let me tell you something. This is God's word right here. All right. How many of you believe this is the infallible word of God right here? Amen.
Amen.
If you believe that's God's word, say amen.
Amen.
Well, then why is it that so many people want to take God's word and turn it into whatever they want it to be? All of this junk that we hear on TV about we want to legalize this and we want to legalize that. When I go back into God's word, it's been illegal from the beginning and it hadn't changed. But we want to go back in and we want to rewrite the course of history. We want God's word to bend and mold to us into what this devilish world wants. But I'm here to tell you one thing. If we start giving in to what the world wants, we're going to miss out totally on what God wants. God wants the best for you. He wants the best for me. He wants the best for our young people, for our older people, for our middle-aged people, for our young adults here. God wants the best for you. He wants you to be a follower, not a fan. And guys, until we're willing to be followers, then guess what? We're not going to be able to move as far as we should in the kingdom. You want this church to grow in leap by leaps and bounds? We need more followers. And it's going to happen, guys. I'm going to tell you what. I don't know. I don't care if we don't have 15 or 20 true followers in this church. Guess what? 15 or 20 people working hard for the Lord can make a huge difference. Amen?
Amen.
But I want you to understand this, guys. I'm not out here to condemn you and criticize you Because whatever you are right now with your walk in the Lord, or how your walk in the Lord is right now, I love you anyway. Amen? I'd do anything for you, as long as it doesn't cross the line of what I believe that is right and wrong in God's eyes. I'll do anything to help you. I don't care if you're the biggest atheist in the world. And that gives me something else to talk about. Amen?
Yeah. Come on, coach.
Let me talk about that for just a minute. I'm going to tell you something. I done got tired of people trying to tell me I can't do this in my work, and I can't do this out in public. I got just as much right to say what I want to about Jesus as they got a right to say I shouldn't say it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And guess what? I'm going to keep saying it.
Amen.
We had a group of young people Friday testing the waters here a little bit. We got right out in the middle of that cafeteria, and we grabbed arms around each other's shoulder, and we prayed right in front of the whole student body on Friday. You know why? Because there was some dissension going on in the school. We got around and prayed. Joe, you didn't know you're going to have a radical you're going to have to deal with on the Board of Education, did you? Amen. One of these that crosses the line all the time. Amen. I forgot we got board members in here now. Amen. But you see, here's the thing, guys. These atheists, these so-called atheists, you know why an atheist has to continue to say things about God and about godly people? Because they're still made in Christ's image too. I mean, a part of Christ is still in them. That's why they keep wanting to deny. They keep denying they believe in Jesus. I don't believe in Jesus. Well, let me tell you something. Why are you worried about me believing in him if you don't even think he exists?
Amen.
Amen. Quit telling me that. You don't even think he's here, so why should that bother you if I talk about Jesus and I pray out in public?
Amen.
Tell you what, I'm going to keep doing some praying. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, yes, Lord. Amen. And I'm not going to be afraid about it. But you know what? Just like I said last week when I read you that little story about that group of believers that busted in on that church with machine guns and threatening to kill everybody. If the only way they'd let them live is if they renounced the name of Jesus, and he gave them an opportunity to leave, and a bunch of them got up and left. Well, that's what happens when we have a chance to shine for the kingdom, when we have a chance to be followers for Christ. Here's what some of us do. Oh, well, I don't think we ought to do that because we might get in trouble. I might lose my job. Let me tell you something. If you ever lose your job for serving Jesus, you got a job somewhere. I guarantee you that. Amen. You ever lose your job because you're serving Jesus? Now, I don't believe in being something outside of God's will and just trying to be this radical person to get your name in the newspaper, but I do believe in serving Jesus. Amen. Don't be afraid. Be bold. That's what I've been trying to tell you. Don't be ashamed of who you are in Christ. Be a follower. Let everybody know it. When you come to church on Sunday and the Holy Spirit convicts you and you feel like shouting and saying amen and raising your hand, don't hold back. Let it go. Amen.
Amen.
Because that's your right as a believer. We're not criticizing anybody who doesn't. I'm just saying, if you feel led to do that, you do it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And don't be ashamed of who you are in Christ. In the book of Luke chapter 19, I'm going to let you read that on your own, but I'm going to tell you what it says in there. Jesus was approached by the Pharisees and was told, hey, you need to, these people are getting all excited. You came into the town and they're shouting out your name. Yeah, did you hear me say that? They're shouting out the name of Jesus. They're getting excited about Jesus. And you know what Jesus said? If they quit, then the very rocks are going to cry out. You know what he meant? Hey, something's still going to be praising me, even if you try to make them be quiet. So guys, you let go and you let God have control of you. I don't care what you do. Just don't pull a gun out or something in here, amen. I have to draw the line there, amen. But guys, I want you to be followers in Christ. And I'm going to close this out today by reading you this little story right here. This was from a youth minister, and I found this story here, and I thought it was a good one to share here about being a true follower of Christ. It says here, one Chicago youth minister planned a spring break mission trip for his youth group, but he was afraid they might become distracted by Florida's balmy beaches. They were going to the beach down along the Florida coast to do some mission work. So he fashioned a cross from two pieces of lumber, and just before they climbed on the bus, he showed it to the group. I want all of you to remember the whole purpose of our going is to glorify the name of Christ, to lift up the cross, the message of the cross, the emphasis of the cross, the Christ of the cross. So we're going to take this cross wherever we go. The teenagers looked uneasily at one another, but they liked and respected this man, and so they agreed to do it and promptly dragged the cross on the bus. It banged back and forth in the aisle all the way to Florida. It went with them into restaurants. It stayed overnight where they stayed overnight. It stood in the sand while they ministered on the beach. At first, lugging the cross around embarrassed the kids, but later it became a point of identification. That cross was a constant, silent reminder of who they were and why they had come. They eventually regarded carrying it as an honor and a privilege. The night before they went home, the youth leader handed out 2 nails to each of the kids. He told them that if they wanted to commit themselves to what the cross stood for, they could hammer 1 nail into it and keep the other one with them. One by one, the teens drove their nail into the cross. About 15 years later, one of the youth that had gone on that trip, now a stockbroker, called the youth leader. He told him that he still keeps the nail with him in his desk drawer. Whenever he loses his sense of focus, he looks at the nail and remembers the cross on that beach in Florida. It reminds him of what is at the core of his life. He's been called to be a follower of Jesus. Isn't that pretty powerful right there? Man, we need to... You know what the Bible says? Jesus told us all in his word, if we want to follow him, we got to deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, not just weekly, once a week, and follow him. I was telling our youth today, that means take Jesus with you everywhere you go. When you take up your cross, you're taking up the cause of Christ and the message of Christ. You don't leave it at home. You don't leave it on the bus. You don't leave it at church on Sunday. You take it with you. And you share it. And then you follow him. That's how you truly become a follower in Christ. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, I thank you for, Lord, your word, first of all, which is always true. Lord, I'll always stand on it. I'm not going to stand beside it. I'm not going to stand behind it. But I'm going to stand on your word. And I'm going to continue to do what you lead me to do, Lord. And I just pray, God, that people will slowly begin to get this message, Lord, and that we'll have more followers start emerging from our membership here and stepping up to the plate. I'm so proud of our members that do that now. And, Lord, I love everybody here. And, Lord, even if we got some fans here right now, God, I believe that with your help, they can become true followers of you. We're not going to give up on them. We're not going to chastise them. We're going to love them, and we're going to keep telling them about you, Lord. God, once again, I want to thank you for this rain again, Lord. I can't thank you enough for it. I thank you for everybody that's here today, Lord, who made it a priority in their lives to get out of that bed. It looked cloudy and gloomy today, but these people came, and God, I'm praying a special blessing on them. I pray, God, that you'll just continue to work with them. And Lord, I pray right now, if there's anybody that needs to come up here to this altar and just lay some burdens down, Lord, because I know I got to believe that in a group this size, that there's some burdens that need to be left up here at this altar today. If not, then just come and pray for your pastor. Pray for this church. Pray for each other. And Lord, I'm just excited about where we're going to go and what we're going to do as we wind down this year and are getting ready to move into a new year. God, I'm excited about what we're going to do there. And Lord, we're going to give you the praise for all of it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 What are we singing? Page 474. Let's stand and sing page 474.